Attention, everyone. Attention. We're on the air. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to my show. We're on the air. The next few episodes of this show, I'll be relating some tales from my book, Growing Up in Idaho. It's a book of my memoirs that I wrote specifically for my kids. Every kid should have the backstory of their lives. Do you agree? And what I mean by that is kids should know from whence they came. Who were their parents, really? What were they like when they were kids? What happened all those years ago? And we all have exciting pasts. If you don't think you do, think again. If you grew up in Idaho, the tales of your childhood have extra flavor. Because, well, it's Idaho. It's rough and it's wild. My life started in Boise at a very young age. Every morning my routine started the same, whether it was cold or warm outside. Like many kids, I had to get my daily fix of TV, which was black and white with three channels. TV was an escape where the scariest things I saw were images of the Vietnam War. I didn't know what war was, but I knew there was killing going on and hatred. I didn't want any part of that, and somewhere inside of myself I knew I had age in my favor. They don't send kids off to war. And hopefully, the killing would end when I hit that magical age. Every morning I watched Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Green Jeans, who were pretty decent folks. Even as a kid, I could tell Mr. Green Jeans was fruity, but he could tell a good story, and so I forgave him his fruitiness. I figured the captain kept him in control and wouldn't let him hurt kids. I loved the captain. He was a gentle and kind person. I knew since he was a captain, he was in charge, so I wanted to believe everything he said. Plus, he had lots of fun things happening on his show, like stories and advice for kids who just wanted to have fun. Another show I watched was Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne was the strongest man alive, and I watched his show every morning. He had big arms because of all the exercises he did for his workout on TV. All of his routines were done using a kitchen chair. Most of the stuff he did on screen, I tried. I was driven to become strong, just like Jack. If I got strong and had big arms, one of these days, I knew I could beat the hell out of Mikey, my older brother. Some days I really didn't like Mikey, because he picked on me and bullied me around sometimes. Jack convinced me that eating the right foods would help me have big arms. None of that made much sense, because my diet was fairly static anyway. I ate oatmeal mush for breakfast, had a peanut butter sandwich for lunch, and meat and potatoes for dinner. Mixed in here and there was a candy bar. Big Hunks were my favorite. That's about all my dad and mom would buy for me. We also had Black Cows and Sugar Daddies, and they were great. I loved the little comics under the wrappers. One morning, my younger sister Julie was bothering me while I sat in the living room and watched the captain. Mom was in the bathroom, so her authority to keep Julie in line was stifled by the barrier of that damn bathroom door. Julie had a sixth sense, knowing when it was safe to get into trouble. No amount of threats or prodding would get her to leave me alone. It was important for me to hear all that the captain had to say. "Julie, I'm telling Mom," I yelled as I stomped out of the living room. Maybe Mom could restore order where I couldn't. I threw open the door to the bathroom, and there was Mom, in the tub, and there was no curtain. Until that moment, it really didn't occur to me that there were stark differences in gender structure between men and women. The surprise of seeing my nude mother left me speechless, and that brief window to get Julie into trouble slammed shut and was gone. "Get out of here," Mom screamed. My youthful innocence was suddenly lost forever. Interruptions to my two favorite weekday TV shows seldom happened. There were exceptions. One morning, Dad came into the living room early. He surprised me. Working night shift, I didn't often see him until afternoon, when he would get up, say hello, and do his college homework. This particular morning, Dad said, "Jeff, do you want to spend some time with me today? I have to do some police work. We're taking a Jeep out to the Lucky Peak Reservoir and look for a dead body." It never occurred to me what would happen when we found that dead body. But four-wheeling in an old Army Jeep with my dad could not be beat. Dad and I and some other guy who worked for Ada County Sheriff's Department drove all over the hills near that big reservoir. I figured if this is what police did all day, I wanted to become a policeman. The man driving the Jeep was a nice guy. He was a policeman and I figured he could be trusted. I could tell that my dad liked him, so I liked him too. As we drove down an old dirt road, suddenly a rabbit jumped from behind a bush and took off through the sagebrush. The man quickly pulled out his pistol, stretched out his arm in front of my dad, and fired away. I could tell the man's actions irritated Dad. Even I knew firing a gun across a person's body was not a safe thing to do. Dad chuckled, but I knew it wasn't his happy chuckle. My ears rang for hours afterwards. To a certain degree, we are defined by unique experiences we endure in life. We see ourselves in relation to everyone around us. It's kind of a measuring stick of us against all others. Some might define this paradigm as being immature and a bit egocentric, but I've discovered that this mentality is carried into adulthood as folks sit around and play top it. Everyone wants to be recognized as unique and well-traveled, and some actually are. After really cool experiences, like riding all over the hills in a Jeep looking for a dead body, I felt privileged, just a bit higher on the totem pole than my friends. Those poor kids had to stay home and do chores for their mothers during my great adventures with my dad. It never occurred to me that sometimes they probably had a few great adventures of their own. After spending all day with Dad looking for a dead body, he took me to the gas station and bought me a big hunk. As the sun set, I sat by myself under the lilac bush on the corner of our property and ate it very slowly, relishing every bite. As I ate, I contemplated what a dead body really looked like. That day, we were unsuccessful in finding one. Jeff Hicks. Have a good day.